Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here and we are ready to begin on tonight. We're waiting for YOU to come on in tonight.
Well, we praise God for each of you tonight. Let us know you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together. It's going to be an exciting time. Lady Kim is going to walk us through these last five chapters as we summarize 2 Chronicles. I tell you, it's been an exciting time. There are 36 chapters total in 2 Chronicles, and we're at chapter 32. And the plan for tonight is to get through 36. And so we don't want to waste any more time. Lady Kim, look at her. You can tell she's raring and ready to go. And she's going to walk us through at least five of these chapters that's left and just kind of help us in terms of what's happening. Because there's some interesting things taking place, and it seems like it's almost a pattern that's happening here. And we see that it's almost, in a real sense, the heritage of those who are in the lineage and how blessed they are. And I think many times when they get to the place of the blessing, they don't understand the importance of the blessing.
That's right.
Now, I said a mouthful right there, because many times that can apply to us even before we have prayer. We are in a lineage, and we have been blessed by that lineage that we're in. And God has so sustained us and has given us blessings. Many times when we partake, or when we grab the blessings, when we incorporate the blessings into our own lives, we don't really appreciate what we have, and we misuse and abuse the blessing. And so we'll see some of that coming out tonight. But let's have a word of prayer as we prepare for this time together. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just listening.
What? Like some on my nose or what?
I'm just listening to you.
Oh, 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And
yeah,
I know, right? You're looking all on my nose. I thought something was on my nose. And we're going to try to move through 36. If not, we'll summarize a few of those chapters tonight as we close out this session. Can you believe we're closing it out, Lady Kim?
No, it's been a journey, but it's been a good journey.
Yeah, we've been in this the whole year, mm-hmm. and we're getting ready next year to start a whole nother journey. We're going to go into the book of Leviticus, and we're going to dive in and just see and get some additional knowledge. I tell you, by the time we finish, we should have covered the whole Bible. And we praise God for those of you who are viewing and those of you who are participating each Monday night. Let us know you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together tonight. Father, we're extremely grateful for your presence. We thank you for your peace and your power and your protection. We thank you for being God and God alone, and we realize that in you we do live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly tonight that we're nothing without you. And so we pray now, dear Lord, that you will sustain us through this time that we're going to spend together, that you will encourage our hearts and lift up bowed down heads. And then, God, we are already anticipating an increase in our faith, because you said in your word that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We pray your blessings to be upon each of the participants tonight, and that you will just meet needs and show yourself strong. And we're certainly grateful for the continued support of this Monday Manna Bible Study. And we give you praise in advance for what you're going to do. So we love you, we honor you, and we bless your name tonight, and we thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God. Somebody give God a thumbs up and let us know. I see Dr. Quali said we got a clear signal, and some praise reports are coming in, prayer requests are coming in already. Is that right, Lady
That's
Kim?
Right.
And so let's begin by just really kind of talking a little bit about the service on yesterday, and just kind of sharing some thoughts in terms of what happened in the worship experience on yesterday.
All right. Mm-hmm. So on yesterday, the sermon topic was out for delivery, and Dr. Murray was our presenter, our speaker, our preacher for the hour. Excuse me. And he came from Matthew, the the first chapter, verses 18 through 22. No, sorry, I got a tickle in my throat.
Okay.
And it talked about the birth of Jesus and how his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. I think I'm going to have to go get a cough drop. Excuse me.
Okay. So, I don't know where you left off on that whole, Lady Kim was getting ready to share with us what happened and what she was able to glean from the sermon on yesterday. And so it was a powerful word as we're in the Advent season. And of course, it's a season of anticipation and expectation. It's a season where we stand on tiptoe as believers in expectation of the return of Christ. And we're always excited about what God is doing, but we praise him for what he's already done. And we know that the best is yet to come. And so we preach from the thought and the theme out for delivery. And Lady Kim was sharing that this whole passage in Matthew's gospel, reading from the NIV version, was talking about the birth of Jesus and how Mary and Joseph had gone through this really, it was a really interesting time for them, because the Bible says that Joseph was of the mind to go ahead and quietly divorce Mary, because they had found out that she was pregnant. And even though they had not fully completed their marriage vows, they were pledged to each other. But she was pregnant even before they got a chance to consummate the marriage.
Right.
Is that right?
That's correct.
And so Joseph had a dream, the Bible says, and an angel appeared to him in that dream. And the angel told Joseph to be not afraid for him to take Mary, his wife, and they would conceive. What she would conceive would be that of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that she gave birth to a son. And they told them the name of the son, that his name should, they give him the name Jesus, because he would save the people from their sins. And all of this was fulfilled, that what the Lord had said to the prophets. And we find in verse number 23, where I just kind of tried to hang out around verse 23. Where it says, and I don't see it in here.
They stopped at 22 on the...
Okay. And let's see, in Matthew 1 and 23. But you can go ahead and share your... let me see, here it is. Matthew 1:23. It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so that's really where I try to hang my hat and just kind of focus in on the thought and the theme that I had used for this particular message about out for delivery. What did the Lord say to you as you were taking notes on yesterday?
Well, you had several points, and the first point was, you know, the delivery comes in the form of a name.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to be important about names. Names are important. We have to be careful about names.
That didn't come out too
good,
did it?
No, it didn't come out right.
It came out like sideways. But we understand. Go ahead.
And so we have to be careful about what we name our children. The angel told them what the name of the child would be.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the child would be Jesus.
Okay.
And so what I was trying to say is, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. We know that the name of Jesus encompasses all of those things.
Okay.
So names are important.
All right.
So be careful what you name your children. You know, we over the years as a teacher, I've encountered some interesting names for children.
Mm-hmm.
And so some names, we have to remember that our names we will bear the rest of our lives.
That's right.
And people will call us by that name unless we legally change that name. So be careful, because a name embodies character.
Okay.
And so whatever that name is will embody character or exude character.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing you talked about is an invitation. You know, the delivery comes in the form of an invitation. And that invitation was that she was found to be with child, and that that invitation was for Joseph not to dismiss his wife. Mm-hmm. But to embrace her because the child that she was carrying was from the Holy Spirit.
Okay, all right. That's good. That's good. I think part of the other part of the whole name is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how the angel told them that the baby's name will be Jesus, for he shall save the world from their sin, the people from their sins.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the fulfillment of the prophecy that had already been decreed in Isaiah 7 and 14. And so we see that the Old Testament gives us the prophecy revealed, and the New Testament shares with us the prophecy fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And so it was a dynamic that was happening here so that the people would understand that this was something that had already been prophesied long before that time, and now it was coming to pass. And so Emmanuel was mentioned even in Isaiah, and here it is again mentioned in Matthew. Because when we think about God with us, with us God, that's really what it means, is that we don't have to worry or stress out over the cares and the perplexities of life and the things that sometimes cause us to be afraid, because God is with us. And many times people have a tendency to forget that when they're going through a very difficult time, or when they see the city in an uproar similar to what we are faced with here in the city of Memphis, and when they see the surroundings not matching up with what they are believing God for. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so part of the word was that we have to be reassured in our spirit that even in the most difficult times, in the dark times, in those times where it looks as if things are not going to work out according to what we are expecting God to do, God is still with us. And he's promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end. And so the same delivery that he was trying to make 2,000 years ago is the same delivery that he's trying to make even during this Advent season. And part of that had to do with the expectancy that we have as believers. Many times we get locked up into expecting natural gifts,
mm-hmm.
when God is trying to give us a spiritual gift, mm-hmm. that's going to carry us much further.
Amen.
Than anything that comes with a bow on it, or anything that comes with a nice wrapping on it.
Amen.
Yeah. And so that was part of what we were trying to emphasize, because when we talk about out for delivery, God is trying to deliver that same love, that same peace. He's trying to deliver that same joy that is expressed through the Advent season. And many times people have not received him. And so the invitation is to receive him and accept him as Lord and Savior, so that you can completely understand what you have in him, and how that will reduce that fear factor and reduce the stress and the strain that we have over trying to predict and trying to figure out what God has already worked out.
Amen.
God has already worked this thing out.
Amen.
And he's going before us. And so we have the confidence in knowing that he's with us.
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel, God is with us in the storms, in the rain, in the ups and the downs, even when you don't feel like praising him, even when you give him your best praise, when you got money in your pocket, even when you don't have any money, God is with us. Yes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so that's part of that package that's out for delivery that many times people haven't received. Mm-hmm. And it comes in the form of an invitation. And so we have to make sure that we sign our names on the package that's for us, because nobody else can sign that name, their name, on what's for you. What God has for you is for you.
Amen.
And you have to receive him for yourself. You can't rely upon somebody else to receive your package when God has a package that he wants you to receive. And so we praise God that we are clear in terms of what we ought to do as believers in accepting him. That's the invitation, accepting him as Lord and Savior. And then we'll have the assurance and we have the confidence to know that no matter what happens in our lives, Emmanuel, God is with us. That ought to be somebody's word for the night. You ought to just hang your hat right there. Emmanuel. Somebody type Emmanuel, because that's what's going to get us through, you know. God has kept us here for a reason. Here it is, the 12th month of the year. You're clothed in your right mind. I know we got a lot of chapters to cover tonight, Lady Kim, but you're here for a reason. And it's all because God is keeping you and he's still got work for you to do. I don't know who that word is for tonight, but know that it doesn't matter how difficult it might get or how crazy it might look. God is with you, Emmanuel. He's with us through it all.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's good. And so I think you already touched on the rest of those.
Yes, yes.
That affirmation and that assurance.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Because once you accept the invitation, you get the affirmation. And God began to open doors that no man can shut. Mm-hmm. He begins to give us things that we never imagined. And when we trust him, and you know, I tell you, it's just amazing what God can do. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but there is no secret to what our God can do. What he did back then, guess what? He'll do it again.
Amen.
And so we give him praise even tonight. And so we're on tiptoe expecting his return, the second return of Christ. And I believe that it's going to happen, but we don't know when. But we have to be ready when it does.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
We have to always be ready.
All right.
You know, and that acceptance means that we also have the responsibility to help somebody else.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. And we don't need to lose sight of the reason for the season.
That's right. That's right.
The gift of Christmas is about the timing of God.
That's right. Seemed like you were listening yesterday, Lady Kim. I think
bit.
I said something like that.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit? No, that's good, because, you know, a lot of times people are taking notes and they are responding to the live feed. Mm-hmm. But we praise God for the technology that helps us to get the message across and how people are relating and how they are taking notes in terms of the situation that they may find themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
But God has not given us a spirit of fear.
No,
but a power of love and of a sound mind. And so we can always count on God. And though it might get hard sometime, but just continue to trust the timing of God in your situation. He may not come when you want him to. But I believe I got about 16 people out there who knows beyond the shadow of a doubt. He's always
Hallelujah.
Right on time.
Yes, God.
All right, Lady Kim, let's jump into our lesson for tonight.
Okay.
We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and we're going to highlight and we're going to just kind of lift up some final points in this particular study rather than trying to read it in its entirety. We want to just, because we're going to 33 here in the next 5 minutes, and so we want to just kind of move through and stick and move right quickly.
Okay.
Go ahead. You about to say something?
Oh, I was going to say, I can summarize, you know, the 32, you know, pretty quickly.
Okay, okay.
Because, you know, 32 is about God's protection of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a king of Assyria, Sennacherib, who was going to come against, Hezekiah, King Hezekiah.
Okay.
And, but God protects Jerusalem from the Assyrians. and Hezekiah prepares to attack or come against the Assyrians, because essentially what Sennacherib said was that, you know, I'm big and bad, and I've conquered all these other nations, and that your God can't do nothing, you know, against me. And he tried to scare the people.
Right, right.
You know, actually he sent people among the people to scare them, to let them know that, you know, I'm big, bad, and better than everybody else, and that I'm going to come in and I'm going to take over. But Hezekiah was not afraid, and Hezekiah stood strong.
Okay.
And as a result, Hezekiah strengthened, he built up the walls that had been broken down. He raised towers, you know, he repaired some places. And so because Hezekiah depended on God and what he had done in the past, you know, Hezekiah had done away with all the idols.
Mm-hmm.
He tore down all the groves and all the Baal worship that was going on, and he trusted and depended on God. So as a result, you know, Hezekiah, God was stood strong on Hezekiah's behalf.
Okay.
So that's essentially,
what happened.
Yes. And that Sennacherib, he came against Judah, and Hezekiah and Isaiah cried out to the Lord, and the Assyrians were struck dead. And in the end, Hezekiah, when he died a rich king. He had much riches, and he was buried among the fathers. You know, you talked about the history going back and forth, back and forth. There were good kings that trusted in God. There were bad kings who did not. And those who were good kings were buried amongst the kings and their forefathers. And the ones who were bad were not buried with their forefathers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, and we'll see this coming out again in the next chapter. Hezekiah, of course, leaves off of the scene, and his son is now taking the reins. His son's name is Manasseh, the reign of Manasseh. Is that right?
Manasseh.
And so Hezekiah and Isaiah, they prayed, and God really saw them through that whole situation that they were up against. And it's interesting how when we stop in the midst of everything that we're going through and consult with God and call upon the name of the Lord, that God honors that, and I believe it just ignites something in the spirit realm that causes God to come and see about us.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we don't take the time out to use what's available to us in order to get relief from what we're going through.
Amen.
We don't pray until everything is about to collapse and everything is falling apart. But when you have a relationship with God, and when we're consistently disciplined to pray, then I believe God honors that. And sometimes he might come later. Other times he might come early. And sometimes he might come in the middle of what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
But he's promised that he'd never leave us nor forsake us.
Mm-hmm. And I think the lesson here in 32 also is that there will always be people who come to try to persuade you to do something differently than what God has placed in your heart, or persuade you differently in, you know, in terms of doing something that is not godly.
Right.
You know,
right.
People are always going to come that, but instead you need to continue to stay strong,
mm-hmm.
and do things God's way. Stay strong, stay the course, be ready for the opposition,
right,
because
right.
opposition is going to come.
It's going to come.
You know, but we must trust God, not fearing the enemy,
mm-hmm.
because the enemy knows how to taunt us and terrorize us. You know, he puts all kind of things in front of us. He even sends people to say negative things.
That's right. That's right.
That might cause our hearts to faint. Mm-hmm. As they used to say. But we don't focus on those things. We focus on God's word and what God's word says. And we know that the victory has already been won in Christ Jesus. So Sennacherib, he said all those things and he pretended like, well, he thought he was all that. He didn't pretend. Right. He thought he was all of that. But when he came against Hezekiah and Isaiah, he came against a force of nature.
That's right.
He came against God's people. And when you come against God's people, you lose.
That's right.
Because the battle has already been won.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're moving on to chapter 33. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter. Just finished with chapter 32. But we find that Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, now is taking the reign of the kingship. And he did much evil and was captured by the Assyrians. But then the Bible reminds us that he sought the Lord and Amnon became king and he did evil. That was his son.
Right.
And so the pattern is there, Lady Kim, and it's clear that even the best of us can be tempted, can be taunted, can be, you know, sometimes the enemy will try to come against us to throw us off track like you were just talking, and even place people in our way to try to convince us that God is not the way. Mm-hmm. And so these kings all went through some trying times, and so it's clear to me that we're going to go through some difficult times as well. And you made mention of that even in your closing statement in the last chapter. And so we have to beware of being seduced by substitutes. And we know that the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we can always count on God and we don't have to grow weary in well-doing.
Amen. And so in this 33rd chapter, like you said, we see the reign of Hezekiah's son, Manasseh. And Manasseh had a 55-year rule of evil.
Mm-hmm.
The specific sins of Manasseh are recorded in verses 1 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
It talked about how Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but he did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Okay.
And you know, it amazes me that you come from a godly parent and here you do evil things.
Right.
And now you come from, you know, now he's 12 years old.
12
what
years
do you
old.
Know about doing evil?
Right.
Well,
right.
And then I thought about that. And the Bible says that we're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. So you don't have to teach a child how to do bad things. You have to teach him how to do good things.
Okay.
But I think Hezekiah had set a good example.
I think so.
He tore down all the idol worshiping things and, you know, replaced things in the temples and all of that, built up the city. And, you know, he just did so many great things. And that's why the Assyrians did not
prevail
against them. And then here comes his son.
Putting everything back up that his daddy had just torn down.
Yes. They said he rebuilt the groves and all of that and more Baal worship. This is crazy. Yeah. Had they not learned from their history?
But something amazing happens, Lady Kim, around verse number 10.
Mm-hmm.
It tells us that Manasseh repented. Mm-hmm. His repentance takes place. And, you know, that's the thing about God's grace that's so amazing is that God continues to extend us grace even when we fall short, even when we don't live up to the expectation, even when we're living beneath the standard that
Amen.
He set.
Amen.
And so even with Manasseh, he repented and God honored that and God saw that he had a willing heart to repent. And so he began to receive him back to him. And in the end, of course, in verse 19, his prayer was to God. And God entreated of him. In other words, God heard him. God, he honored what he had said. He saw that his heart was right. And so when he died, the Bible said when Manasseh died, the Bible said that he slept with the fathers as well.
Yeah.
So the thing I think we can learn from this is that it's, you know, we don't have to wait until we get into a dire circumstance before we turn our lives over to God or we start trying to live according to what God requires of us. But we can have long life and long service when we do what God requires of us and we do what's right in His sight. Mm-hmm. Righteous living and righteousness goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. When we talk about living righteous, we're talking about right living. And so all of us have an opportunity to have an extended life. And when we do right by God, God will do right by us.
Amen.
I remember even after I started reading about Hezekiah, he was the one that prayed and asked God to give him extension of his life. And the Bible says that God gave him 15 more years because he prayed. And that's something powerful about when we pray and when we are connected with God. Sometimes people don't even have the nerve to ask God for what they really need.
Want.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
what they want. Mm-hmm. And Hezekiah was of such where he prayed and God extended to him 15 more years to his life. And so his son Manasseh takes over, and then we see that he dies, and now his son Amnon is sitting on the throne. And when he comes aboard, he's what? 20 years old.
He's
22 years
old. 22 years old. When he began to reign.
And he reigned for how many years?
He reigned 2 years. You know why he reigned 2 years?
He was a wild boy.
Yes.
He was evil. He was rough. He came in acting a fool. That's what happened.
Yes. And even though Manasseh had repented of the Lord, you know, he came in. And he had Amon had an evil reign also.
That's right. And so what we're trying to really get us to see, I think what God is trying to get us to see here in this chapter, this is chapter 33, is that we have to continue to understand how important it is for us to walk in righteousness and in holiness and not be tempted by the evil one. I mean, temptation is nigh all of us, but we have to be able to be alert and be aware of the signs that causes us many times to stumble. And even if that does happen, and that's not a license for you to go out there and do wrong, we have to always make sure that we have a repentant heart. And God looks on our heart. Man looks on outward appearance, but God looks at our heart, and He'll know if the repentance is genuine and if it's true.
Amen.
And I believe God will reverse the situation if we come to Him right.
Amen. Yeah. I believe He will too, because He knows our hearts.
That's right.
Amen. So because He knows our hearts and our intentions, then I believe God will work on our behalf. Mm-hmm. So, you know, up to this point, you know, the people of Judah had largely tolerated some 57 years of utterly wicked kings,
right.
Who had led the nation in evil, and now it seems that they wanted righteousness and justice instead of evil that they had lived with for so long.
Okay.
So now the people are starting to make a turn.
Mm-hmm. And so Amon, is that right? Mm-hmm. He was Manasseh's son.
Yes.
And Amon, he passes off of the scene, and now here comes another young man that begins to, his son begins to take the reins. And this man, this young man, seemed to have his head on right.
Amen. And you know what? I want to stop here and clarify and let everybody really see the pattern that happened back then, that, you know, it was a dynasty type of thing.
Right.
It was father to son.
That's right.
It's not like how we have elections here.
No,
it wasn't
no.
a democratic society
no, no.
where they voted in the next king.
Mm-mm.
You know, the king
came through the
kingly lineage.
That's
the firstborn son usually was the one who was heir apparent to
the
throne.
That's right.
So there was only one case, and we we talked about it not too long ago. I can't remember, recall offhand right now where it wasn't the firstborn son that began to rule. But nonetheless, it was still in the lineage.
That's right. That's right. The youngest son began to rule, and the oldest was not worthy. And the youngest son took the reign.
Yes.
But you're absolutely right, Lady Kim. And so this lineage and this this tradition had been set in place. And it all flows all the way back to the promise that God made with Abraham.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes. And, you know, it's still in place today over in England. You know, that succession plan.
Right, right.
So, but yes. And so we see the pattern here of the father passing down the kingship to the son passing it down to his son, and so forth and so on. But then they go back and forth like a ping pong,
right?
On good and
doing
evil.
Doing good and then messing
doing good,
up and starting
good and
out.
Evil, yes.
And so Josiah is now coming of age, and he's relatively young himself. The Bible says he was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And so he grew up and matured in the process. And by the time he was in his eighth year, if he started out when he was only eight, by the time he was 16 years old, Lady Kim, while he was yet young, the Bible says that he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And they're using the lineage to refer to David as the one who was in the succession. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves. Here we are going back again. Rebuilding, reestablishing, reconnecting. And so this young man, he tried to start out doing right and what was pleasing in God's eyesight. And as a result, God honored that, and God began to bless him. And then when you get on in there, you see when he was in his 18th year, in about the 8th verse, that he purged the land and the house, and he began to govern over the city, and he began to set things in order. He set his family in place to provide leadership. And he also went about reestablishing the workers and getting the Levites and all of them lined up to do the work. He sought after the skilled workers to rebuild the things that was necessary to complete the building of the temple, rebuilding of the temple. And then he put faithful men from the house of Levi, the tribe of Levi, over the different people who were working, and they began to pay those who had did this manual labor. And so he extended a gesture far beyond what most of the other kings were doing, where they were almost like slaves and not getting any pay. If they were getting pay, it was minimal. But an interesting thing happened around verse number 15. Something powerful took place as they were reconstructing the temple, and as they were going through and trying to reestablish everything, they found a very valuable instrument. And they got so excited, they found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Isn't that something?
I'd like to read that part because, you know, I think that's important. Verse number 15 of chapter 34, it says, "And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the
That's
Lord.
That's right.
And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do. They have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and they have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen." So the monies that they had found, they, like you said, they paid the workmen, the skilled workmen, for their work. But the most important thing is they found
the book.
They found the book of the law.
The book of the law. And so that's very powerful because with this whole process, Josiah began to read the book, and he became so intrigued by what he was reading. The Bible says he rent his clothes.
Yes.
And then he stopped reading, and he said, no, gather everybody together, because we want to make sure that everybody understands where we're going and what this word is saying. And so when they hear this word, they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is God speaking to them.
Amen. And so, again, one thing to remember about that day and time, they had scribes to write and to read. Everybody was not literate back then, mm-hmm. like we are today.
That's right.
Almost everybody is literate today. But back then, many people were not literate.
They
especially
relied on other
the
people.
Peasants were
That's
not
right.
literate.
That's right.
So they read, and the scribe was the person who read to the king and read the law to the king. And it said that when the king heard the words of the law, like you said, that he tore his clothes.
Right.
And that showed his grief on his own account, the account of the nation. And then the king commanded Hilkiah and Eliakim, the son of Shaphan, and the son of Micah, and to go and inquire of the Lord for them. And so that's what they did. They went before the Lord.
Okay.
Sought God.
And the interesting thing, you're absolutely right, Lady Kim, because after Josiah read the law and the word began to work on him, he saw the power of that word. Mm-hmm. And when you get around to verse 20, 29 through 33, we find that Josiah, he repents, and then he called all of the people of Judah together so that they could hear. And Josiah begins to read the word of God mm-hmm. to the leaders of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And the covenant is renewed then as a result of them hearing the power of that word. That's something powerful about when we assemble ourselves and we hear the word
yeah.
and the word convicts and the word directs. And so as a result of them hearing the word, the Bible says that they began to come together and they did a mighty work in terms of renewing all of that which had been torn down and all of that which had been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
We find them now with this new king trying to get things back in order. And like you said earlier, it's up and down processes. Here one day and the next day they're down. One king comes in and he destroys everything that has already been set up in righteousness. But Josiah is seemingly trying to get things in order and make sure that they understood the importance and the significance of the book of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And that was important. And so a couple of lessons here I think is powerful as we move to the next chapter. What are some of the lessons you think?
Well, that we need to accept that it's not the age of the leader
okay.
that determines the person's success.
Wow.
Instead, it is determined by his following and godly leadership and the godly leadership of his parents too
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or his ancestors. Pleasing God by obeying the law, and all Israel worship God as mm-hmm. a result of that.
That's right. That's right. And so that's a word for us today, even now, is that we need to be obedience brings a reward.
Mm-hmm.
And when we trust God in his word, then some powerful things will happen even to us. And Josiah at 8 years old, began to reign for some 31 years, and he destroyed all of the idols and all of the things that had been set in place. And then he began to lead the people based upon what the book of the law had revealed to them, and they began to worship the Lord in holiness and in righteousness, and they followed the letter of the law.
Amen. You know, in chapter 35 continues talking about Josiah, how he reinstituted or celebrates the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And he appointed the priests to their duties and provided offerings But in the end, he attacked Nico and he dies. So Josiah directs the priests and the Levites. The lamb for the Passover sacrifice is provided. Then the slaughter of the Passover lamb is for the sacrificial meal, and the greatness of Josiah's Passover is outlined in verses 1 through 19.
Mm-hmm. And Josiah, they said, celebrated the Passover like none other, mm-hmm. and that he pulled out all of the stops. He made sure that it was a high and a holy celebration, mm-hmm. and he brought attention to all of the things that had been missed in the past, and he made sure that even the Levites were assigned different assignments, and not all of them, as you have already indicated to us, were not, they were out of, it was a priestly tribe, but not all Levites were priests.
Right.
And so he made sure that he made assignments for them that they can continue to be of service to the Lord. And interesting enough, Lady Kim, Josiah disregards God's warning and goes to war. And the Bible says that he even tried to disguise himself, mm-hmm. and not show his kingly leadership or show his position in terms of, you know, his rank and file,
right.
and went to war. And he went to war against what God had told him not to do. And so he got wounded in war and he died, and they buried him. And I think he was buried among the fathers as well.
Okay.
Let's see what it says. Yes, he was buried among the fathers as well. And so God honors what we do right, and he rewards us according to the deeds. When you look at verse number 27, it says, "And his deeds, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah." And so Josiah's acts and deeds, works and matters from the beginning to the end are written in the book of kings of Israel and Judah. And so a very powerful lesson here, I think, in this 35th chapter is that we have to be mindful of that which God requires of us, mm-hmm. and do what God requires of us to do and be faithful in the execution of the things of God, and God will bless us as a result.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So Josiah was a real powerful king also.
He was. He was. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because he chose to do what was right, except when he went against Nico.
Right. So that takes us over to chapter 36, Lady Kim. Can you believe that?
No, I can't believe it. We made it, almost made it through. We got a few more minutes,
that's
so
right.
We can go on and plunge our way in.
All right. Well, you want to read these verses, and then we can close. I think they're about, 16 verses there? No,
22? Yeah, they're 23 verses.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and summarize it, and then we can come back and see if there are any other comments that we might. Any comments on any?
Not yet.
Okay. So this is the last chapter in 2 Chronicles. We see the fall of the lineage and how everything begins to unfold, mm-hmm. there. And this chapter really talks about the fall of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that there was a short reign. The last four kings of Judah, they are listed there.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say?
Okay, so the last four kings of Judah, the short reign of King Jehoahaz, the reign and captivity of Jehoiakim, the reign of Jehoshachin, and his recall to Babylon, and the reign of Zedekiah, and his rebellion against Babylon. Those are in verses 1 through 14.
Right. And so as a result of this, we see that that was some 70. Judah was held and captive for some 70 years,
mm-hmm.
because of the decisions that were made, and because of the corruption of these kings that you just mentioned, and the fall of Jerusalem and Babylon, and the Babylonian exile began to take place.
Mm-hmm. And these kings are only mentioned because they reigned for, they're mentioned in such a group because they only reigned a short time. For instance, Jehoahaz, he was 23 years old when he began to reign, but he reigned for 3 months.
That's right.
You know, and then the next king came, and he didn't reign for very long either. He reigned for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the short periods of time in which these kings reigned, you know, whereas in the former chapters, they reigned 30 years and 55 years and mm-hmm. things like
51
that.
51 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of them not being able to fulfill all of the destiny that God had set in place, the fall of Jerusalem and the Babylonian exile comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, I think one of the things that we can gather from this particular chapter is that, you know, because we trust people sometimes, we trust their children and the ancestors and the descendants.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand that each person has their own thought process. Mm-hmm. They go through what they think is right,
mm-hmm.
and they do things based upon the advice that they're getting from people around them. And many times it's those who are close to them. But we have to be clear in terms of making sure that we stay connected with God, and that we surround ourselves with the kind of leaders that will not be yes people, but that they will pour into us and help us discern the voice of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
And help us accomplish our goals, too.
That's right.
You know, you don't want people that are supposed to be undergirding you, and then they're doing the opposite of what you need them to do.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. So what would be a conclusion for this time that we spent in this Second Chronicles?
Well, yeah. To mm-hmm. summarize Second Chronicles, it shows us the glory of Solomon's reign. Remember, Solomon was the most wealthy king alive. And so how he constructs and dedicates the temple. He built the temple, dedicated it, showing the relationship with surrounding nations. You know, he had a peaceful relationship,
okay.
unlike other kings that will come after him that had contentious relationships with the nations that surrounded them. And it's important that we can learn lessons from the good qualities from which some kings of Judah were praised for. And we are to be aware and mindful of the bad characteristics for which the other ones were condemned. Christians are to put God first.
Mm-hmm.
We're to make sure we're making God's will our will. And we are to make sure that we avoid pride and arrogance, because pride and arrogance is one of the things that will certainly bring you down, and bring you down quickly. If we hear God's calling and truly seek his will for our lives, he will respond and lead us towards his kingdom. Thus, we will have eternal life.
Wow, that's powerful. So that really kind of brings us to the close of Second Chronicles. And we do praise God for each of you who have been participating and being a part of this study. We hope that your faith has increased as a result of hearing the word, because the word of the Lord is true, and the Bible decrees that faith indeed cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I think we can all learn something from these kings as they reign and as they rule, that it's important for us to continue to seek the very face of God in everything that we undertake to do or say. One of the things Lady Kim just indicated about seeking God's face early and putting God first. Matthew reminds us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto us. And so we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to honor God, because when we begin to think back over all that God has done for us and how he continues to sustain us and how he keeps us. Even when we are not keeping ourselves, then we should give him praise and we should give him glory and we should give him honor. Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. So we have a responsibility there to help in lifting up the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Well, Reverend, we have several prayer requests that we need to lift up on tonight.
Okay.
Dr. Qualise asked for prayers for her sister, who is, I believe, in the midst of a kidney transplant. She wants prayer for Susan Tipton Clark, her sister.
Okay.
And then we want to lift up Sister Betty Young. Sister That's Betty right. Young lost her mother this afternoon. And so we want to lift up Sister Betty Young in a powerful way. Her mother's name was Eva Arnett. So we want to lift up Betty Young. We want to lift up Sister Vendora Mills. Mm-hmm. Her mother and her brother. Have been ill. Her brother was in intensive care. I'm praying that he has been sent to another step-down unit as we speak. But her mother's name is Bessie Burton Edwards, and her brother's name is Rico Moulton. We want to lift them up. And then Sister Tanique Hale said she's had several deaths in her family, you know, two or three cousins right in a row, you know, and so she's been going back and forth to, you know, funerals and homegoing services. So we want to lift her up in a mighty way.
Okay. Then we want to also lift up our youth director, Travis Griffin Sr.
Yes.
He and his family, they had a little bout, but he texted me yesterday and said that they recovering and at home. And I want to continue to keep them in our prayers.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Most definitely will.
Okay. All right. Well, you ready to close us out then?
Sure.
Again with a word of prayer.
And don't forget, this coming Sunday, well, let's go back to Saturday. Saturday, the student ministry will be riding the bus to view the Christmas lights on Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m. So if you signed up to go along, you can ride on the bus. Once those who have signed up to ride the bus are on, if there are any other seats, then you can fill those seats. If all the seats are full, you're welcome to trail the bus as they go and view the Christmas lights. Also, don't forget to wear your ugly Christmas sweaters on Sunday. We're going to just have a little fun, see who can have the ugliest Christmas sweater. And then Sister Sharon Jackson just put in the chat to lift up her sister Carol Jenkins, who had her first radiation treatment today. Mm-hmm. We most certainly will lift up Sister Carol Jenkins in our prayers.
All right, 6 p.m. Saturday for Starry Nights.
Okay, if nothing else, we'll go to God in prayer. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the example that you've shown us through your word on how we should act as Christians, how we need to stay steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For our labor shall not be in vain. For we should always do what is right and pleasing in your eyesight. We see the rewards from doing what is right. So we thank you, O God, that we shall be rewarded faithfully for being faithful. God, we lift up the bereaved to you tonight, God. We lift up Sister Tanique Hale in the loss of several family members. And we most certainly lift up Sister Betty Young in the loss of her mother. We ask that you would comfort her right now, God, and give them as a family the strength that they need to endure the days that are to come and the preparing of the homegoing celebration. And then continue to be with them and strengthen them after they have to live a new chapter in their life without their mother. We thank you today, God, for your healing grace and mercy that you extend towards those who are sick and those who are recovering from surgeries. We pray a special healing prayer for Susan Tipton Clark, God. We ask that that kidney transplant go well, that her body accepts that kidney, oh God, and that it functions as it ought. We pray for Sister Bessie Burton Edwards tonight, God, and Rico Moulton. We ask, God, that you would continue to heal them as never before. We ask your prayers, your healing power to go forth for Travis Griffin Sr. and his family as they recover from illness. And we pray for Sharon Jackson's sister, Sister Carol Jenkins, oh God, as she undergoes radiation treatments. We ask, God, that the radiation, oh God, not have a harsh effect on her body, God. So we thank you, oh God, that the radiation treatments are doing what they have been designed to do, but that gives minimal damage to her body. So we thank you tonight, God, and we bless you, God. And God, we ask that you would continue to be with our pastor, be with our church, as we go forth to continue to do your will. We love you, God. We thank you, God. We bless you and we honor you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen and praise God.
All right. Good night, everybody.
All right.
We will see you next year on Bible study. No Bible study next Monday or the following Monday, because next Monday is Christmas and the following Monday is New Year's Day. So we get a little break.
Well, we might pop in on them.
We might pop in and say Merry Christmas.
Absolutely.
We might pop in and say Happy New Year.
That's right.
So you never know.
That's right.
All right. We love you guys.
Be blessed.
Thank you. Good night.